Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, I have the lovely Lauren Chandler on our podcast today. She is so awesome. You are going to love this episode. So Lauren is passionate about writing, music. She leads worship at her home congregation, the Village Church, and across the country. She is wife to Matt Chandler and their three children who live in Flower Mound, Texas. And she just wrote her second children's book called Praise Him, which helps us teach our kids to praise God in all the seasons of life, the good, the bad, the ugly. So we really dig into her journey and what that looked like for her and what inspired her to write this book and how we as parents can really model this. How do we praise God when we really don't want to or when things are really hard or disappointing? You're going to love this conversation and you are going to love Lauren. Hey, Lauren, thanks so much for being on with us today. I can't wait to talk about your new children's book and just all the things. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Christy. I appreciate it.
So we're not far from each other. We realize we're probably like two hours away in the Texas. Yep. It's finally now bearable to be outside.
Yeah.
It feels like it's been 1,000 degrees since.
So hot.
So stinking hot. So it's getting better. It's not fall. It's like post-blazing summer.
Yes. That's a good way to put it. That's a good – even though it feels like there's a little – like this morning, it was very pleasant. And so I'm like, okay, fall is coming. We always call these, because I'm Texas born and raised.
Okay.
We call them California days.
Oh.
Where it's like pleasant in the morning and pleasant at night, but warms up during the day. And because when I've been to like Southern California, yeah, in particular, that's how it feels. Well, that's been my experience. So I'm like, every now and then we'll get a good California day. So
I know.
Today is one of those days.
I haven't felt the chill. Like, I love – so we just moved from Colorado a couple years ago, and the greatest thing is, like, having the sweatshirt on in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it kind of – so it hasn't got to that place yet. And it probably won't until, like, January.
But
I had to – my saddest thing is, like, either getting rid of all the beautiful fall clothes that I used to have, or I keep them and I, like, am sweating to death with my scarf and my boots on.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The whole time. So Lauren, for those who might not know you, tell us a little bit just about you, who you are. You said you're Texas born and raised. Give us a little bit about where you are right now and what you're doing.
Yeah. So Texas born and raised. My husband is a pastor, so that makes me a pastor's wife. We've been married for, he gives me a hard time because I always struggle with how long we've been married.
Me too.
23 years.
Okay. Okay.
In the end of July. And I was, we got married young. I was much younger. I am much younger than he is. I like to remind
how much older is he?
He is almost 6 years older than I am.
Okay. Grant's almost 8. So
yes. Okay.
Yeah. We like to, I love to remind, I'm like, I keep you young.
Yes. That's what I tell Matt. I'm keeping you young. So we've been married 23 years. We have 3 kiddos. Audrey's our oldest. She's 19. We just like launched her out into the world.
Oh, did she go, is like college or like what it, tell me about
kinda,
that.
Okay. She took a little time to finish high school, okay, which was fine, which meant that we had an extra year with her, which was great.
That's a
gift. We loved it. Mm-hmm. And now she's doing like a junior college right now. She is a horse girl. She wants to work with horses.
Okay.
And she wants to be a barrel racer.
Okay.
She wants to be a professional rodeo girl. But anything with horses, she wants to do. Her dream is just to have her own ranch and raise her own horses and all that stuff.
I love you. Will you take me to a rodeo? Will you teach me the ways? Like, since we've lived here, it's like my bucket list is to learn how to ride a horse and to go to the rodeo. And everyone's like, wait, you've never been to a rodeo? I'm like, I have never. I don't even know what to do. Like, I don't have boots. I don't have any of that. So is Dallas the place to come for a rodeo?
I mean, Fort Worth has a rodeo. Okay. I mean, there's going to be rodeos near Waco. I know there are.
Oh, there has to be.
I mean, just any size rodeo is great. You know, Houston Rodeo gets all the, you know, the praise. And I've never been. I hear it's fantastic and amazing, and it's the rodeo in Texas. But the spirit of a rodeo you can get anywhere. You can get it in Gladewater, East Texas.
I love it.
Speaking of East Texas, that's where I'm from. I grew up in a town called Longview, kind of a mid-size, probably a little smaller than Waco. So I know you and I were talking before this that Waco is kind of small for you and it would be bigger for me.
Okay.
And now I'm living in this, we live in the suburbs in Flower Mound outside of Dallas. And even this is, you know, it's more city than I ever knew growing up. And so we've got Audrey. We launched her. She's 19. Reed, 16, almost 17. He's my football player, but also loves music, plays the guitar. And then my 13-year-old, Nora, she's just a lot of delight and a joy. And she started playing volleyball in August. And it's been really fun to cheer her on. And so that's the Chandler family. My husband's been the pastor of the Village Church for almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we've been the same place. We love our church. We love the Village Church, and so glad to be there. And I lead worship at the Village Church. I also have written Bible studies. I've written a trade book that was kind of like a memoir, but also a devotional on Psalm 107. And then I've written two children's books, and I've also written like some worship songs too. So, you know, I have a lot of hats that I like to wear, and depending on the season, I put them on. So that's me. I'm also an amateur bird watcher. I love birds. I have like a whole app. I have an app on my phone.
So tell me, so you say that you love to watch birds. Is that something you've always done? Because I'm very interested in this, and I'll tell you why in a second. Tell me how the bird thing came about.
I've always loved birds.
Okay.
I can remember being a little kid in a certain house that we lived in. My fascination with birds began because there was a cardinal nest in a little bush by my parents' bedroom window, and I just remember watching them and seeing the mama bring, you know, feed the babies and waiting for the eggs to hatch. And so I've always loved birds. And then you know, being a singer and a worship leader, I've always struggled with like finding my voice. It's so easy to compare and want to sound like her. And I would look at I just remember looking at the birds, seeing them fly, seeing them sing their own songs, and they're not thinking about it. They just do it.
Yeah.
You know, they are what they are as God made them. They're singing the songs God gave them to sing. They're not like, oh, I wish I sound more like the bluebird, or I wish I sound more like a chickadee. You know, they just are singing it. And so it's been something that the Lord has just, he's just spoken to me, you know, through his creation, in particular through birds. Cardinals have always been meaningful to me, which is so interesting because the illustrator for my book, without knowing it, made the cardinal kind of a character
that
ties the story together.
And I love it.
Anyway, so it's just neat. So birds have always been fascinating to me. I have bird feeders all throughout my backyard. I have a pair of binoculars by my kitchen sink so I can look at them. Because I've observed them, I can tell just by how they fly what kind of bird they are. And I've also learned their song. And so it's been so fun.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we need to have a date because I never really noticed. I mean, I love nature. That's kind of my thing is like I feel most peace in nature. And so when we moved from Colorado, we had all these mountains and all these things. And then we moved to Waco. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the nature? But there actually is a beautiful space here called Cameron Park. It's one of it's the second biggest municipal park close to New York City's, if Central Park, if you can believe that. People don't really – they know it, but it used to kind of be maybe a sketchier area, so not a ton of people came down here. Now it is this most beautiful – I mean, you can – I'll show you my backyard. It's like just full of trees. So I said, if you're going to move me from Colorado, you got to move me in somewhat of nature. And so birds, cardinals – we used to live in St. Louis, and so cardinals is their bird. And then, of course, my husband's – you know, favorite team is, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals. But I had a grief journey the last really 2.5 years. And the thing that woke me up in the morning to remind me that I'm going to be okay, that we can do another day, is I would literally open the door and I would wait for the birds to sing. And if the birds were singing, which they were every morning, I would be like, okay, we got this. I can do this. They made it through the night. I can make it through the night, and I can do this again, and I can do this again. And that was literally like – I mean, I remember just crawling out of bed, not wanting to get out of bed, walking to the door, opening my back door, and just like anticipating, are they going to be there? And they were there, and I closed the door. And, you know, just – and so since then, they have just been this joy to me. I don't know anything about them, but they've just been a joy and just, again, kind of God's provision for my life and showing me through the – little birds, which I love.
I love it. I love it. Yes.
Which I love. So tell me kind of your journey before we get into your book, Praise Him. Tell me about your story of kind of worshiping and, you know, praising Him through the good, the bad, why it's so important. Why has it been so important in your life? Were you raised in a Christian family? Was it something that was important to your parents? Kind of give me a little bit of that background.
Yeah. So I was raised in a Christian home. We were at church, pretty much anytime the doors were open and, you know, definitely not perfect. My parents weren't perfect. I wasn't perfect, but we loved each other. And, we knew that there was a God who loved us and who was worthy of our worship. And so grew up a little First Baptist Church, Longview, and then I always loved music. Music was always a part of my life. I learned to play the piano. I would write my own little songs. I would sing in the choir, and then I sang in the youth choir. And so music was something very dear to me. And so because he was someone dear to me, it made sense. Like, okay, music and church, Jesus, I'm going to sing at church. And so I grew up singing at church, and there's some great good things about that. And then there were hard things, because I think I had a lot of my identity wrapped up in music and wrapped up in almost like leading worship or singing songs for the church about Jesus. And then I struggled a lot with comparison and feeling not good enough. And so my relationship with praise and worship has been a tenuous one, where I'm like, I love it. I know I'm created for it no matter what, like no matter if I like how I sound or I don't, or if I'm supposed to be a worship leader or not, we are all to sing praise to God. Yeah. It's because it's good for us. He made us to do that. But it was also a point of pain for me, because I felt this call on my life that I was to be some kind of worship leader, in particularly with music, because I think we can lead worship in several different ways, but musically, except it was just this battle. And I think it was, I had impure motives in wanting to be defined by that and wanting to be noticed by that and wanting accolades. But then I also think there was a real enemy who didn't want me to sing. He wanted to silence my voice and wanted me to try to sound like someone else so that I didn't use the gift that God gave me. And so, I struggled with that probably all throughout middle school, even into college. Like, I led worship at a Bible study and still just really wrestled. I wasn't satisfied when I was leading worship, and I wasn't satisfied when I wasn't. Like it was this pull, because if I wasn't leading worship, I was sad because I was like, but I like to lead worship. And then when I was leading worship, I was frustrated because I didn't sound like I wanted to. I didn't sound good enough. It wasn't great. And so there was this battle. And so my understanding of worship was sort of tainted. And then honestly, it was going through Celebrate Recovery, that we started. So we got to our church. I was 22 years old, a 22-year-old pastor's wife.
My mom was a pastor's wife, and we joke now about it. I'm like, Mom, I'm like, yeah, you literally weren't vulnerable with anybody. You didn't tell anybody. I mean, like, that was the way it's, I'm sure it's changed a little bit, but like, there is this pressure on you to be, to act, to be on a pedestal. Yeah. Like, I get that life. We lived that life.
Yes. And so I was 22-year-old, ended up at Celebrate Recovery at our church, because I was just like done. I was so tired of the struggle. In particular, perfectionism and the fear of man, and trying to find some kind of affirmation or identity in what I was doing instead of being loved by God. And so the Lord used Celebrate Recovery in the best way. I think it was great because here I was a church girl, and I was having to use AA language every time I went to Celebrate Recovery, and I loved it. It was so uncomfortable and out of the box, and I needed that reset for my heart, and to like a reframing of the gospel of, oh my gosh, I will never be good enough. I will never, like, I need Jesus. I am powerless to change this. Like, I've tried to change this myself, and I have not been able to do it. And so, I found a lot of freedom then.
Can you tell people what Celebrate Recovery, like, some people might not know exactly what that is. Yep.
Basically, it's AA with Jesus, where I think it was developed out of Saddleback Church in California. And you, there's like a step program. You got 12 steps. But then there's weekly meetings. So like the first meeting that I went to, you know, there was like a gospel presentation, a teaching, and an opportunity to respond. And the response was to go pick up a poker chip. And if it's your first time and it's like, you know what, I have a part of my life that I want to surrender, or my whole life that I want to surrender to the Lord. And you go up and you take this poker chip. And so that's what I did as the young pastor's wife of this church.
Did you go to Celebrate Recovery with people that knew you, or oh, you did
at our church?
Okay. At so you went in basically being like, I need help. I have whatever, you know, whatever's going on. I need help. Yes. And good help. For you.
It was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And they offer the poker chip twice, the surrender chip twice. And the first time they offered it, I was like, there's no way, I cannot get up and take that. I'm like a pastor's wife. What are they going to think? And then I was so sad when it like passed. I was like, I missed my chance. Like, I should have grabbed that chip. And then they offer it one more time for people like me who didn't get up the first time and then regretted it. And I mean, I almost sprinted up there. And I remember I just didn't care anymore. I was like, I would rather have freedom than care about what people might think about me at this moment.
Yeah.
And that was huge. Yeah. And so I went up there and took that chip. So Celebrate Recovery is basically kind of AA. Anyone that's going through some kind of struggle, a hurt, habit, hang up that they just cannot get over by themselves. And they've tried, and you can be a believer. You don't have to be a believer. Some people were struggling with alcoholism or substance abuse, or, you know, or just abuse in their background. Yeah. And then some people were like me, who was just struggling from being a good girl and trying to earn God's love and perfectionism.
Yeah.
And so, that's what Celebrate Recovery is, which we do our own version of it now. So we had to stop calling it Celebrate Recovery because they actually have like a whole thing.
Sure.
So it's just Recovery at the Village. And it's honestly so through that process, the Lord started, I felt like, giving me back that desire, that a pure desire to worship Him, because I was like, Lord, I was just cut to the heart that I was using this gift he gave me to measure my worth and to gauge my worth around people. And I was like, Lord, I don't even deserve to stand on this stage. You know, I've used this for me and not for you.
Yeah.
And he was like, I know, and I'm still going to use you.
Oh, I love, and isn't he sweet like that? As a mom today, it's harder than ever to instill the godly confidence our daughters so desperately need. That's why we've developed Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters. It's the resource that Tara Mattson, a licensed marriage and family therapist of over 20 years, created to help us have one-on-one dates with our daughter each month. Each Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters course includes 8 video lessons for moms like you, conversation guides, downloadable journal. Choose your course today and get a leg up on talking to your girl about important topics like her relationship with God, her changing body, and her identity. When it comes to raising confident and godly girls, you are the right mom for the job. Visit cpguides.org to select your course today. Again, that's cpguides.org. I think your story and my story are so very similar that, and a lot of people don't hear the story. You hear like the big testimonies or whatever, but good girl, and you're doing the thing for God. Like you're doing the thing, but really you're doing it for you. So same thing, like in ministry and my thing, instead of singing was speaking. And so speaking and so doing all the things, you know, for God, and then, you know, it's really God just pat you on the shoulder and be like, you're doing it, you know, you're doing it for you. You're doing it for the accolades. You're doing it. So I had to come to like come to Jesus moment too. It was like, I love you. I don't need you, honestly, to do this, but I want you to be in the game with me. But we gotta like transform all this stuff in your head that makes you think that you your identity is in that. Because your identity is in me. It's not about doing for me. It's about being with me. And until you figure that out, all the other things you're doing, like, let's just get rid of those. So I had a time where God was like, you're just gonna be done with everything until you can figure this thing out. And then when you can figure this thing out, then you get to dream and then you get to do. But I think it's a story we don't hear from, like, I just put quotation marks, you know, like the good girl or the church girl. I think this is so many of our stories of being the good girl, being, you know, grown up in church and all those things, but really understanding what it really is about that we have to figure out on our own for sure. After that, kind of did that help you like build vulnerability muscles? I feel like that was a really vulnerable time in your life that you're a pastor's wife. You go to the Celebrate Recovery, which usually, you know, I mean, most people, when you say that, if they've been in the church world, it's like for addicts, it's for people, like you said, who struggle. And did that kind of start building your, you know, vulnerability, transparency muscles? Tell me about that.
Oh man, it really did. Cause I remember going through, you know, going through steps and you're in this group, you have a leader and then you're in a group with, I mean, most of the women I was in there, I didn't know, like I didn't know. And you have this where, you know, confidentiality that everybody respects, you know, and man, I was just owning up to things that I was like, if I share this, they're going to look at me like my head's spinning around, you know? And then I shared it and they just were like, you know, and I was like, oh, so it's not that, like, it's a big deal to me, but there, I just was met with grace. And I think I needed that. And that encouraged more vulnerability and even to keep talking about just the role of praise and worship in my life. You know, I think I needed, the Lord knew what was coming for me and why that praise and worship needed to be refined in me, like my, that heart of worship, which that's like my favorite worship song of all time. It never gets old. It's called Heart of Worship. It's like, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And because I think I was serving in Celebrate Recovery for a few years, like 2 or 3 years, loved it. It was my favorite ministry at our church. And then my husband had a seizure that revealed a brain tumor that was malignant. And so he went through brain surgery, chemo, radiation. I had a 6-month-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, praise and worship in those moments look different. And I mean, it had to be all about Jesus. It had to be all about him. And so I started to learn, okay, this is what it means to worship and praise him, even in the midst of the storm, to believe that he is good, to believe that he hears me when I cry out to him, to believe that he will deliver me one way or another, whether it's a way that I want him to or not.
Did you, through that, was that something that was hard to do, or did it come second nature? Like, was that something you were like going through the motions until your heart caught up with your, you know, your head? Tell me, you know, how that was.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, those days were, I think where I felt it the most was from God's people helping me through that and being his hands and feet to me, sitting with me, praying with me, telling me that they're praying for us. And then I think I would just listen to praise and worship. And it was around Christmas time. And so when I would hear Christmas songs, they were actually pretty sad to me, because I'm like, Christmas, it's when everything's wonderful and happy and everything's nostalgic in a good way. And so I'm even trying to think what I'll listen to. And I know I did. I know I listened to worship music, and Matt listened to it too, just to remind ourselves of what's true. And there have definitely been moments, and I think I was so desperate. It's more the moments that I'm disappointed that I have a hard time, praising and worshiping. But like you said, it's one of those things where I am part of praise and worship, and that I will go to church and I'll sit under the worship leader and worship honestly, where maybe I just stand and maybe I'll let those words wash over me. And my prayer is, Lord, I believe those words. Help me believe.
You know? That's good.
So that happens more in the times I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. And then I think when it was brain cancer, it was like, you're my only hope. Like, I'm practicing this, like, 'cause I'm in the depths. Like,
right.
I'm still holding out hope here. But I've definitely had the other times where it's, okay, Lord, I'm singing these, I'm letting these songs wash over me. And even like when I lead worship, and it was so good. I love leading worship at Celebrate Recovery, 'cause I could say, hey, listen, if I have to sing these songs for you, and your heart is, there's grace there for you to say, Lord, I want my heart to be there. It's not there yet, but I want it to be there. That's enough. Like, that's an act of worship. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm singing these songs on your behalf right now, let me do that for you. And you just let it wash over you, knowing that one day you'll sing them with me.
Right. I think sometimes having that, what you said, just letting them wash over you, that maybe you don't even believe it, or you want to, but it's, you know, you're either so disappointed and you're so in grief that you can't even quite get there. But I think just even having it on, I just remember the last couple years, there was a certain song that I just played over and over. I think it was Promises is what, by Maverick City. Yeah. It was just over and over every morning when I would wake up, and the kid, you know, and it's so funny, my son this year, I haven't played it as much this year because we're kind of through the grief, which that's the hard part, right? Is like you desperate for it, and then you kind of get through it, and then you don't want to forget. Like, you've never wished that time on anyone or yourself again, but you also don't want to forget the desperation that you had for Jesus. And my son was so funny this year when school started. He was like, Mom, he's like, do you think you maybe couldn't play the same song that you did over and over and over again last year? And I was like, what do you mean, bub? He's like, he goes, sometimes I would wake up and it would just be so annoying. The same song would be played. And I said, why didn't you tell me? And he said, I just didn't want to hurt your feelings. He's like, because I knew that you loved it. And he's like, but this year, he's like, maybe we could play, maybe we don't have to play that early in the morning. But it was like he, you know, something in him knew that I needed, yeah. you know, that I needed that space for
how,
sure.
How wonderful that he tuned into that.
Yeah. Beyonce. Yeah. He's a sweet, he's a sweet boy and an in tune boy for, more than we know, more than as parents we know.
Yeah.
How have you as a parent, kind of switching over to parent hat, been able to instill this in your kids? You know, when they're younger, it's these sweet books like you're writing and we're reading that with our kids. And then for those of us who have, you know, older kids, how have you instilled that with them little? Because that's the easier part, right? We're instilling that in them. And then how do we keep that going when, you know, they get older and they kind of have their own thoughts and feelings? And tell me how you've done that.
You know, so when they're little, a lot of it was modeling, and honestly, that's it all good. Is modeling. Like, hey, we're gonna make, even though Matt's a pastor and we kind of have to go to church, we're gonna make that priority. And then we're also, like you said, like we, gosh, I have an album. Robbie C, who actually is from Waco, he has a Psalms album that there's a Psalm 3 that just in the most recent season, it's like, you know, oh Lord, you are shield about me. You are my glory. Lift my head. Like it's probably played too much, but my kids, they've been singing it. You know, I'll catch them singing it with me, the 13 and the 16 year old in particular. So it's kind of subversively getting in there, but, you know, is when they're little, just like modeling that, I honestly, going to church is really important to show them the gathering is important to be a part, to sing with the saints, to watch someone else sing and watch someone else worship, like not in a creepy way, but okay, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
Like it's not just us on an island. We're doing this together. It is just mutually, encouraging and builds us up. And then, you know, playing stuff around the house. And then how this book even came about was, I wrote a song, a praise song, and it's kind of like a lullaby, kind of like a hymn. And the whole point of it was giving my kids something that they could take with them the rest of their life. Just a reminder to praise the Lord in every part of our day, every season of our life. So, you know, the first verse is about the morning time when we sing the chorus of the dawn, like, which is the birds.
Yeah.
We talked about it. It is literally what I'm talking about. Where we, when the day's before us and it's full of hope and promise and we're like, yes, it's going to be a great day. And then praising him when we're like in the middle of our day and we're like, not really turning out the way I thought it would. You know, this is hard. This is not fun. This is hard work. This is kind of boring. This is slow. I don't know if I'm going to have anything to show for this at the end of the day. Praise you, God. And then, you know, at nighttime, in the middle of the night, when we're like, it's dark and we can't see and we have to trust the Lord. Okay. The dark is his light to you. You know, you have us. Mm-hmm. And then the last verse, which I didn't put in the book because it was like, sort of morbid. And I'm like, I already wrote a book, a children's book about goodbye to goodbyes, which is about having to say goodbye and Lazarus and all this stuff. So, the last verse of the song is about kind of when our days are done, when it's, and we look back on our life and we're like, you know, okay, Lord, you know, my frame, you know, my frame, you know, I'm weak. And you have me, like, I trust that you will take me on towards heaven, towards you, you have New Earth, the culmination of all things, consummation of all things. And so I wrote that song because I want them to carry that. And there is something about music that helps truth, like, get a little deeper into our hearts and into our minds. And so I think there is something good about music in particular with our kids. Important to have them be a part of praise and worship. And we had, you know, Kids Village and where they've got songs that are for them, that make sense to them, that my kids still remember. Like, like my kids still, you know, G-O-O-D, our God is, you know, just fun little songs like that. So, that's that is what I, that was my heart for writing the book, writing the song. And so now it's like a little, I don't know if you found this or if any of your other listeners have discovered this, but parenting teenagers and young adults is way more subversive than it is like instructive, I feel like. It's more like, let me incept this idea in your head.
right. Yes.
Like just telling you.
This. Yes. It's like halfway you're saying like, but this is your idea, right? I mean, you're like, you're right. You're helping them come to the conclusion.
Yes.
Right.
And so that's, so what I've tried to do with them is in particular, one of the ways, and you know, I haven't done this perfectly. I'm not an expert, but like at the end of the day, when I'm picking up my 13-year-old and she just, she's hungry, she's tired, her medicine's worn off. And so she's just grumpy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let her vent all the things. And then we're going to get her from some food to eat. And then, you know, we'll go from there. And I get to circle back around about all the things that she kind of poured her heart out about. And, you know, either somehow, you know, just give her wisdom, give her something practical, and then pray for her. And, you know, we do this thing called low high at dinner time. When we are actually all able to sit down at dinner, we say, what's your low of the day? What's your high of the day? And we get to just say, thank you, God, for our lows and our highs. You know, thank you that you're there throughout them all. And so having teenagers, young adults, that's kind of where I've just kind of very covertly tried to train them in how to praise God, even when it's hard and emotions and hormones are running wild, and just realizing he's still there, he's still good, and he has a good plan for our lives if we'll trust him.
Yeah, I think what you said that's so important is the you modeled that, you know, and that's hard to do as a parent, especially when you go through something really hard and really trying. I mean, I think kids help us continue with that because you're like, oh, they're always watching. Like they don't, you know, as much as maybe we want to say something or we don't want to do this, they're always watching. And so I think my favorite really phrase is it's more caught than taught, and where, you know, they're seeing, oh, well, mom had a really hard day or mom had a really hard season or dad had a really hard season. And they continued to, and it doesn't mean we can't be vulnerable. You know, there, I think there's that fine line too to say to our kids, like, actually, I don't feel like praising today. I mean, I think my parents were amazing, but they never really shared the hard. It was always because my mom was a pastor's wife. You know, they never really shared the hard. It was just always like, God is good all the time, every day, all the way, you know, and it that is true, but it was never, I was like, but do they struggle too? You know, I couldn't figure it out. And so I think for me, I want to help my kids know, like, actually, this is really hard to praise God right now because I'm actually really mad. I'm really mad at God. I'm really sad at God. And guess what? God can handle all those emotions because he's big and he loves us and he's not mad at us for that. But I also know the Bible says he's still good. He's still for me. He's always for me. He's always for you, you know, and just reminding him that. But kind of that vulnerability, you know, in there a bit as well. So,
I think it's so important for them to see us like that, just honest, you know, like, man, this is not what I wanted. It doesn't feel good. I don't feel like this, but I'm going to trust the Lord. And it doesn't mean that I conjure up fake emotions. Yeah. It means like, God, I don't like this, but I know your word says, and I've seen in my life that you've been good. And so I trust you. I trust you, even though this is really hard.
Right. I think the emotion part, right? We don't feel it. Like, I don't feel that, but I choose it. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
We used to, when I used to work in DC, like, I had no clue of what we were doing on Capitol. I mean, literally none. And we would just say, fake it till you make it. And I hate that phrase, but at the same time, it's like kind of, it goes into anything of like, you're not faking it, but you're choosing, even though your feelings aren't there, maybe at the time, you're choosing to believe something because one, it's happened in your life before and you have record of it, or maybe someone else, you know, that he's pulled through, or just reading the Bible, you know, it's just in that journey with Christ, wherever we are, whether we're just starting or we been doing this for 20 years, we're always going to see his little mercies. That's why I love to journal That's so right. much, because it reminds me. So yeah, all the good things. Well, Lauren, I love what you wrote. I love your heart and just all of that. And so I'm excited for others to hear about Praise Him, your book. And you can get it now anywhere where you like to get your books. Is there anything else that I didn't cover that you're like, oh, I just would love to share this or encourage parents or to do this or that with Praise?
Yeah, I think this isn't a go buy my book right now, but I do think I'm really proud of this book. One, because the illustrator did such a great job. It's really a pretty book, and it's really fun to turn through cardboard pages too. And I just think it is an ageless reminder. And so I think it's a good book, not just for kids, but for adults to read with kids and be reminded of, okay, I can praise him any day, any part of my day, any season I go through, any circumstance, because we need that reminder too.
Yeah.
And so that would be my encouragement.
And I like what you said earlier too, when you kind of did the whole comparing, like you get to praise him in your way. And so I think sometimes there's an intimidation of like, oh, I don't know how to praise him that way. They seem like they know it. They're praying in a certain way. It's so beautiful the way they talk. You know, I've had so many people say, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to praise. And it's this very simple. It's literally, I love you, God. I trust you. Yes. I mean, it's so simple. And sometimes I think we don't start praising or worshiping because we don't have a good voice, or we don't, you know, the simple things that hold us back. When I want to encourage us as parents that it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. It doesn't matter what prayers come off your lips, that it's your heart. And it can be sometimes the most simplest is what honors his heart the most. So
that's right.
Thank you so much, Lauren. I'm excited for this book to be in the hands of others, and we just really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me on our Be Love podcast today. The Be Love quick tip today is to think of something you can praise God for today, whatever it is. Just, it could be the smallest, littlest thing. It could be the birds chirping this morning, whatever it is, that you find something that you praise him for today. And also don't forget to get Lauren's book, Praise Him, anywhere you love to get your books. Hey, thanks so much for listening with us, and thank you for being love and doing good in your community. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.